sweet. It's every little thing from my head down to her feet, out of a magazine. And I see her on the TV. I love the song she sings, 'cause when I turn around, it's like she's singing to me. And every word she means, like it could be about me.
Hey, 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 what's up, everybody? It's Tuesday. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. Thanks to you again for checking us out here on our lovely podcast. That hopefully you're listening to it while you're driving at work. I'm trying to think of other things that people have listened to our show
at
with.
At the gym.
At the gym, working out, pumping iron, reading a comic book. I don't know.
Everywhere.
How do you imagine people are listening to our radio show, podcast, internet, explorer, fire, Zilla?
Maybe they're working or they're traveling.
Because we got all the exclusives.
Yeah, we got the
we get all the musical exclusives, that's why.
Actually, I have some scoops right now.
All right, bring those scoops up there.
Okay, we have two tour dates coming up.
Woo-ha!
We have one panel discussion that's called In Between the Panels, DC's emergence on the graphic novel scene. It's coming up. It's coming up on November 17th.
November 17th, that's right.
From 6 to 8 p.m., and it's at Bus Boys and Poets. Have you ever been there?
I have been, because I had a film that showed there, because, you know, I'm still a filmmaker.
You know, they have multiple locations, so I want to make sure people go to the right Bus Boys and
Poets.
Which is this? It's the one on 1025 Fifth Street.
I have no idea where that is.
It's the Fifth Street one.
Is that in
Washington, D.C.?
Oh, it's in D.C. Okay,
yes.
I don't know if I've been to the... Actually, maybe I have been
it's,
to
it's,
the...
It's apparently it's, called the Mount Vernon Bus Boys and Poets.
Is that in directly in D.C.?
Yes, it is. Let me just check real quick for
check
a
the
second.
Touch. Check the touch. We're sponsored by the touch today.
I wish.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, it says 5th and K Street's location. Apparently, it's called the Mount Vernon Bus Boys and Poets in Washington, D.C.
So what can we expect out of this?
Well, it's going to be moderated by Mike Rode, and he runs the DC Comics blog. Not DC Comics, like the brand, like Marvel or DC.
Yeah, not the Batman Superman, but the Washington, D.C.
But the Washington, D.C. Comics blog. He runs this whole comics blog, and he got an award for being Art Blog of the Year.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah, for Washington City Paper, and he writes for Washington City Paper.
Cool.
Yeah, he's pretty up on the DC scene of, like, a lot of cartoonists and writers and stuff in the area, so that's pretty cool. And he's up on, like, a lot of stuff just beyond DC, too, because he even went to the... he went to see Matt Groening in Ohio that same weekend that we had the Pittsburgh event.
Yeah.
They had an animation festival in Ohio, and he went to that, so that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
He's around town. Well, anyway, so Matt Rode is going to be the moderator, and then the panelists are myself, Carolyn Bilewski, Matt Dembitsky, and Molly Lawless.
Awesome. So what do you expect out of this panel? This is going to be the second high impact panel that you've taken part in. What do you have to look forward to in this one?
Well, one thing I want to mention.
Go ahead and mention it.
Make me happy. Is that this event is free.
That's right.
And so that is a good deal. I mean, all you have to do is come.
Well then, all you gotta do is come.
So.
If you just come, you can be there.
Yeah, you just gotta show up.
That's right. But what is the theme?
I mean,
what should people look forward to?
I mean, I think we're just going to talk about comics. You know, they're trying to use a fancy word like graphic novels and stuff. But
that's a great marketing word, though, for people adults who are afraid to sink back into their childhood.
Yeah. And, you know, like, Will Eisner coined that term, so it's like I can't really.
Did he?
Yeah,
Or was it given to him?
I don't know, but from what I heard, he's getting credit for naming it that. Naming a comic book a graphic novel.
Because he was one of the first ones to get recognized for that level of format.
Yeah, probably. He's one of the top. I mean, it is Will Eisner. So, you know, I guess we're just going to be talking about comics in the DC area, and I know Matt Dembitsky's trying to get a lot of the DC artists and the whole DC conspiracy crew to come there, and we'll give them a shout out just to, you know, we got to get some attendance.
I think that
there.
Definitely a lot of people should go check this out, because really there's not really a lot of panels that are happening in the DC area, and it's great.
Yeah, this might be like the first one.
We'll probably just claim this as the first big time panel that happens in the DC area, focusing mainly on DC comic book artists, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't really name anything. If there was one, someone can speak up on it. I'm not going to be all like, my word is the end all word, but from my knowledge, I'll say that we're the trailblazers in the DC community, in the greater DC area.
Yeah, the
area.
Greater DC area. I mean, there are people that, I mean, I guess Brooklyn.
Well, there's definitely a lot of great people out of this area making books.
There are some really great people. If you were to like look around, I guess, United States and ask yourself who does comics, I feel like a lot of people in Brooklyn and New York area like do a lot of comics, and Ohio seems to have a lot of really great artists as well for some reason.
Well, really,
you know, there's different pockets, but DC has like really emerged, I'd say, in the past, like, I don't know when, but like maybe 2 years, like there's been a heavy presence, and now it's like at a higher peak.
I think what's really great about that is it's not just like one single person. It's more or less this greater DC area, you know, has people, you know, from different ranges of artists doing different things. And I feel that in these next up and coming years that they're all sort of rising as one, not as one, not as like we're one great community, but more or less work is being produced at the same time. And they just luckily happen to be coming out of this area.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think it's also what's cool is that people aren't afraid to say like, hey, we make comics. Make comic books, you know what I mean? And then some of us work in the graphic novel medium, and some of us work in like the single issue weekly comic, monthly comic medium, you know?
Yeah.
The webcomic area.
There's just a lot of diversity in the DC area, and also a lot of the material coming out. A lot of DC gets a reputation for being more corporate and conservative.
And as well as it should.
You know, and there's, yeah, I mean, that's what it is. And, I mean, even for, like, I work as a designer as well, and even in the design industry in D.C., like, there's a rumor, or I guess, like, a reputation that the D.C. design is more conservative, which, you know, I have to say, sometimes could be true. I mean, a lot of the things in this area are nonprofits and organizations and stuff like that, and lobbying in D.C.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of that going on, and maybe they might not be pushing the boundaries as much.
But it's good to be known for something.
But what I'm saying is, like, from the other side of it, the cartoonists in this area, I would say a lot of them aren't, like, holding back. You know, they're not like, oh, I'm gonna hold back and be, like, subtle and, you know, not really push it.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the artists are, you know, they are not afraid.
I mean, and it is definitely a place, it's an important city, and that, you know, I did that interview for I forget what it was. What was it, what's for the Washington City paper? No,
yes.
It was for something. And, like, you know, they're like, so what do you like about D.C.? And I think I really like the fact that it is an important city. You know what I mean?
Every city
is important in its own right. But, like, to me, I feel like this is...
D.C. is the power city.
There's a boiling point that can happen. I mean, they just had the rally last week. You know, you can't really just have that rally, the rally for sanity with the Johnson...
You can't just, like, have that in
Alabama. Yeah, you can't... Or Arkansas, whatever, and have that have the same impact. It's almost like if you want to make an impact, you might have to make an impact in D.C. for that level... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also when you try to make an impact in D.C., it comes with a certain level of baggage because of the audience of D.C.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's tight security, you know what I mean? Highly, highly strict. You know, there's drivers are out there to kill you. I mean,
yeah,
really,
the traffic in D.C. is just, I think it's horrible.
Really, really, D.C. is out to get you. That's what it is. So it's one
also,
of those things.
You know, the cost of living up in D.C. is... It's not easy to make a living in this town.
And that's another thing where I feel like D.C. is out to get you. How other cities are like, our one city, our city, or whatever this is, whatever city slogan.
D.C. is like swimming with the sharks.
Washington, D.C., we're out to get you. Swim with the sharks, exactly.
And
swim
then,
with
like,
the sharks.
Like, certain people, like, yeah, you see your homeless people, but then it's like the people, like, working in D.C., they're, like, in all these, like, hardcore suits. Or it's like security.
Or then like a lot of
I'm
like
talking about like on Capitol Hill and
political
stuff.
Looking haircuts political and a lot
looking
of
looking guys.
A lot of
spies.
A lot of like
CIA.
What's it called? less spies. You can just pick out all the spies.
Well, you know, who knows who
they are? It is spy territory. I mean, you do have all the
everyone working
Langley,
in the government. Well,
Quantico,
like,
is not far away. You know what I mean? It's surrounded by
like
things.
Pretty much like, I don't know the percentage, but I'd say like 50% of the people in this area are all like, you know, out in the government doing some sort of government thing.
Yeah, it's X-Files. We're in the land of X-Files.
I mean, both of us have worked for the government.
Yeah.
On certain projects.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think almost everybody in this area has at one time done something for the government.
I mean, it is definitely like top tier officials. These are like executive officials that we're surrounded by. Or it's like people will shoot your guns out. There's snipers on top of buildings at all times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's lockdown. The city can be on lockdown. You know what I mean? It's lockdown town. So if you can make it in this town, I mean, it's a place where you can get your voice. I mean, if you can, it's weird. Because your voice can be heard and it can't be heard at the same time. It's a unique city like that. It's not New York, because I don't think D.C. has that cultural, like, you know.
D.C. is just more fierce.
Yeah, it's a tough city to break out what that city really is.
Well, as far as the art scene in D.C., I feel like it really is like this whole
DC opposite,
but it's like the opposite of like all this like corporate politician
stuff.
Well,
also, but there's also that sort
of like a backlash.
But there's also sort of that snobbery art that happens too. You know what I mean? It's like there's still political powers in play in the art form. You know, and that's always pretty interesting as well. But you know, we've had a lot of great stuff that stands out, and when it does, it really means something. You know, because there's that high volatile. You're in a high volatile situation where trouble can happen. Is what I'm saying.
Okay, so one more time. Get your pen and paper.
The tour still continues.
November 17th, that's a Wednesday, from 6 to 8 p.m. Bus Boys and Poets, 5th and K Streets. 1025 5th Street Northwest.
The first ever DC panel.
Yes, it's called In Between the Panels, DC's Emergence on the Graphic Novel Scene.
And hopefully that will be recorded and filmed and released in the future.
And then you can all check it out online.
That's right.
And then it would be crazy. Yeah. It would be like all over the whole world and people in Japan can watch it.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, America.
America. And also you can check out the Other Side of the Table panel. Google it. You'll be able to find it.
Can you Google?
Yeah, you can Google the other side.
Up?
Yeah, it will show up.
Cool.
And that'll probably be on the Stray Productions website as well. And we're getting ready to have that, just the official website of that panel up there. We'll be able to check it out. And we'll have it on different formats. You can download the MP3 of it and check it out in your car, just like you do with the Carolina Joe show, like us.
Yeah, we want to know how you listen to this show. Tell us. You can email me at info@curls-studio.
You mean info at curls-studio.com?
Yes, info@curls-studio.com. Okay, we have another important tour date. November 21st, we're going to be at the Sondry in Vienna, Virginia for Holiday Heist. And it's sponsored by DC Craft Mafia. So there's going to be a lot of really cool gifts that you won't be able to get, you know, at the mall, and a lot of handmade stuff. I don't know who's going to be there, but usually they have stuff like, you know, let's see, what type of stuff have they had at Holiday Heist? They've had homemade soap, they've had comics.
It's definitely something if for someone's birthday or some, you know, Christmas or holiday times coming in, buy some presents there for your friends.
Yeah, because like that type of stuff you can't find anywhere else.
All originals.
It's all handmade.
All originals, no covers.
Handmade greeting cards, handmade, you know, what else have I seen? I've seen handmade books, handmade diaries, I've seen handmade mittens and hats and scarves.
I think it's really interesting that we do these shows as well as the comic book shows because, you know, I feel like that's the best way to get out to like the other people, the other types of people, those normal people.
Yeah, so come out on November 21st.
Those normal artsy people. It's always amazing how, like, you know, when you grow up and you're like, oh, the art, like, I want to be an artist when I grow up or I want to be like that. But there's like so different types of levels of artist people. You know what I mean? You have that fine art crowd. You have like a photo crowd. You have a film crowd of artists, and they all have, or design crowd. They all have like their different like attitudes. You know what I mean?
Excuse me.
I want to be an artist.
Was this made with pure oil paint?
You mean you're charging for this? Or you're doing it for the money?
And then there are people that are like doing
the starving
art
artist
for money.
Movement.
Well, there's some starving artist people, but then there's people that are like charging like $1 million for a print or something.
That's right.
They're like, I'm in Guggenheim. Look at me.
And I am actually making an appearance at the Final Cut Pro Group, I believe, in DC. I'll try to find out more information.
It's on December 1st.
Yeah, December 1st.
But I don't know where it's at.
It's at some expo center. But I will find out.
It's at some expo.
As it comes sooner.
Try to find it.
As the news comes sooner, like, yeah, that's right. I'm going to be there. But it's not for comics, so I'm not really going to push it as... I guess I'll push it, whatever. It's for me showing up for my film work, photography work. I'll give you more information on that, America.
The DC
countries of the world.
Final Cut Pro Users Group.
Yes.
Which you don't even use
I use Avid. So I think there's some...
Like, why are you there?
So there's some sort of motive there for me being there. Either it's gonna be like a gang assault on me. You know what I mean?
Or do people really get picky about that? They're like, "You use Avid, I use Final Cut Pro," and it's like in my head, I'm like, "It's pretty much the same thing."
It is. It's like, "Oh, Mac, PC. Oh, I don't know." There's a whole bunch of people that battle stuff like that, and it's all pointless to me. I mean, if I had a Mac, I would have Final Cut Pro. I mean, I do have Final Cut Pro actually.
But you never use it.
I mean, I don't have...
Do they make Avid for Mac? Yeah. I know that's a stupid question.
Yeah, they make Avid for both. But well, Mac wants to only have it on Final Cut Pro.
You know, because every time I go to the Apple homepage, sometimes my computer, like, loads on that. You know, because Apple tries to get
because
you to go to their website.
Because they produce that. That's why.
Well, they're always like...
Avid is a third-party software to them.
Oh, really? Because they always have, like, this section of news that's always like... This movie was edited with Final Cut Pro. And it's, like, some high-end movie.
Hey, man, Kevin Smith uses Avid. Every great person uses Avid. Spielberg uses Avid.
They're gonna rip you a new one. You start talking like that.
I don't know what it's gonna do. I'm built to do a talk or do a speak.
Well, how
Q&A.
Many? There's other people on the panel.
There are other people there.
It's all other people.
But like, really, at the end of the day, I gotta focus on me. Then I'll focus on them. That's how I do it on the talks. Any type of media appearance, I gotta focus on me. Then I'll focus on you. You know what I mean?
You know what I think is funny is, like, our tour kind of ended for a while. Because always, like, you know, I kind of anticipated...
But now it picked up again,
I anticipated to do a holiday show. Because, you know, like, those kind of come out at the very end. You know, they don't really get planned, you know, several months in advance, like something like New York Comic Con would. But, you know, maybe around... I guess we're in November now. So, you know, maybe at the end of October, early November, you start to hear about the holiday shows. So I knew that one of those would pop up, probably. But then, you know, I just... at one point I was like, yeah, the tour's over. You know, like I wasn't happy about it necessarily, but I definitely needed a break because
Tour is hard.
Our October
tour is pretty hard, ladies and gentlemen.
Our October was pretty insane. You know, like we had something every weekend for probably 5 weeks.
Even September, we had stuff in September.
Yeah.
We had like SPX in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
So that
Pittsburgh,
was like a 2 month tour there.
New York.
That was a two-month tour.
And then we
tour.
Did, like, two local events, right? We did Capicons and then Crafty Bastards, and then we did that other local event.
Yeah.
What was the other one? I can't even remember now. I don't know. But at least these upcoming events are only, like, D.C. and Vienna, so, like, it's not that bad, but, you know, it is...
Greater D.C. area.
Yeah, the greater D.C. area. But it's not, like, that bad, like, travel-wise, but, you know, it is basically, like, another day. Another full day, and then maybe some recovery.
To me, at this point, it's fun, but it's also, like, it is work, because we're still pushing. You know, we're still getting our books out there to new fans.
So did you want to talk about, like...
Me winning the photo contest at Union 206 Studio? Yeah, I would. I'd like to say thank you for everyone that voted for me for the first ever Union 206 Studio photo contest. I don't know if you guys actually listen to the show, but I'm just saying this so we have it on record. All of you guys, thank you very much. Couldn't have done it without you. Also, couldn't have done without the model, Lauren Jaslow, and also the one of the greatest makeup artists I've ever worked with, Hannah Elvington. I always owe it to all those guys. I just try to bring things together, and that's a story.
I heard that, like, you know, I saw your image. It's called Missile Crisis. It's a very tasteful image, but I will say there are breasts... blatantly showing.
There's two images and there's breasts in both of them.
Yes.
But it's not pornographic.
I personally think it's very beautiful. You know, I have no problem with it, but I will say that the sponsor of this contest asked you for a censored version of this image.
Well, technically, they said no boobies. They said no boobies.
Oh, really?
They're like, that's how it is. I mean, you know.
Did you know about that before you entered?
No.
Did they already have that in the rules?
There was nothing in the rules.
So now they say no boobies.
Don't you think that would hamper, like, you know, I'm not fighting against them. They're a great group. I'm really happy that they're there, but I'm just going to bring it down to these, you know, writing of the word specifically. All right, so in all truth, you're going to limit creativity if you're going to say, all right, what has changed to you? You know, the theme is change. I want you to give you the best image that represents change. Now, if I can't show certain things, I would not have shot it a certain way. Now they want, you know, a family friendly version of it, and that's great. But what if I never even shot a family friendly version of it?
Well, I guess what I'm asking you is, there wouldn't be one. Is how are you going to handle that request?
I don't know yet.
See, because if you put a black bar over it, you know, that automatically makes me think it's like pornography.
Yeah.
And it's like a totally nice, beautiful image.
And I would totally go for that. If they're going to put that on there and put the black bars and it'd be centered like that.
I think you should, if you're going to do that, make the boobies look like missiles.
Well, first thing, I want to wait for them to announce it.
Yeah.
I would like to announce it. The thing is, they can't put the image up.
But to announce it.
Why not? They already have the image. They have the image up for voting. Maybe they got
you know, shaky boots, and then they're like, "Oh, we can't put that up again."
I mean, they have people showing their boobs in photos they have up in the studio. It's part of photography. I've seen them.
I've seen several photography books that have boobs in it.
But I mean, it's not a pornographic.
And they're all artsy. They're not porno at all.
Maybe they're trying to kick me out.
I don't know, but I basically, like, I'll try to think of some way you can censor.
I'm not mad at it, but
how are you supposed to censor a photo that was meant to be
Really, I'm looking at this situation from the outside perspective. Yeah, they wanted a family-friendly one, and they spoke that they should have mentioned it before, you know, and, you know, they didn't mention it before. And that's, you know, of course, that's one thing. You know, you didn't mention it before.
Yeah.
I already turned in an image. You should have mentioned it. You should have mentioned it before. That just seems proper. Like, if I was going to, I would not have shot something like that if I had known, like, oh, there's a no boobs policy.
Yeah, totally. Because even when I was doing the anthology for the Curl Studio Carnival Anthology.
Yeah,
when I put out the rules.
And which we're running out, people. So if you want to buy some, better hurry.
Yes.
And the next printing will come out sooner or later. But this first printing is really awesome.
Well, when I put out the rules of that, I blatantly said, like, you know, nothing X-rated.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, you can, you know, push the limits, but, like, nothing that, you know, was hardcore X-rated or, like, you know, that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to have, like, blatant boobs or, like, a dick in your face.
Yeah, no one wants a dick in their face. Boobs, maybe. Boobs,
well,
maybe.
Even the boobs, all the time, actually. Even the boobs. I didn't really want that in the anthology, and I put that down there.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't specifically say no breasts, but I said nothing rated X, you know? And it's pretty... People would know that if you say that, you know? I think any time if you show boobs, it would be called a rated X.
Would it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, like, I mean... But I think people knew, like, no gratuitous stuff.
You think boobs are rated X?
No, they're technically probably rated R, but... Okay, is a penis rated X or R?
I personally, and that's the only way I can judge this, I can't judge this on any technical merit, but I personally would want to have a cock is instantly rated X. Boobs,
so how come boobs can get by?
Because boobs are nice, and they're friendly, and boobs are on the Virginia flag, and boobs give
one
life.
Boob, actually.
Boobs don't cause trouble. A cock can cause trouble. That's my perspective on it. Boobs are more family friendly.
But basically what I'm saying is that from the start of the anthology, I did put out a thing that said, you know, let's not go there. You know?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and I think people know how to not go there, you know?
And it's
steer queer of that.
Steer queer of that, mister.
Steer clear of, like, you know, that whole side. And it was obvious. I feel like the photo studio, like, learned their lesson from this project.
Well, I don't know what they learned. I don't really know what the backstory is.
Well, you know, they probably should have announced that.
But all I'm saying
is... But there's nothing wrong with your image. Like, I don't look at it and I'm like, oh, what a perverted image.
But really, at the end of the day, really, what if I don't have an image? Like, they're going to assume that they... I think they sort of, you know, I'm looking at it from an outside perspective. What if... Joe did not shoot a family-friendly version of that. where would we stuck with now?
How can we just have the image with like a white line going across where her boob nipple is?
Again, here's the thing.
It isn't meant to be
here,
like
here,
that.
Here's the situation. People voted for that. I don't know how many people voted for that, and I'm going to say it's millions of people have voted for my image. And they voted for that specific image. They voted for that composition and that sequence and that color correction. You put up something else, you're changing what the... It's not going to be called Missile Crisis anymore, is it?
No, but it can be called, like, Censored Missile Crisis or something like that.
But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Now I got to go look, and if there is one... What if there is no image?
Maybe you just shouldn't submit anything then.
But it's also
get your reward.
But at the
same
time,
you won't be able to have your image hung in the studio.
But see, at the same time, it's like.
Or you can pick a different image of your own work.
But also, there's an assumption that, like, I almost feel like there's an assumption that, like, maybe I just shot random images and these happen to be something I just put bullshit name behind it. You know what I mean?
But you actually shot that specifically for the contest.
There's behind the scenes, there's a concept specifically for that. There's a whole series around that.
Well, I mean, I guess the most important thing is that you get to collect the prize.
I think maybe there should be more of a prize now that I'm censored.
Yeah, but
they're like,
see,
oh, we're going to add more to your prize.
Maybe for your image that should be hung in the studio, maybe you should just pick a different image that doesn't involve boobies and just say, this is my work.
Yeah, but what would that be? I don't know. I made this specifically for this. It's sort of like now.
I know, but they're not gonna hang it. Let's just be frank. They're not gonna hang your image with the boobies.
Well, fuck it. Print it out and I'll take it. Framed. You know what I mean? I'll hang it in my studio.
Yeah, but they're not gonna do that.
Well, you can do that
on your own.
It's all a great promotional tool for them anyway. So it's as long as enough people checked it out, now they know who Union 206 Studio is. Because I'm mentioning it right now, and I'm happy to work with them. You know what I mean? I don't know what their impressions of me as a photographer, or if they still think I'm just a guy playing around. But I'm forced to be reckoned with, damn it. I won the contest. I won the very first contest. I'm the number one winner ever. I will
first
always
time.
Have. I
first
am
time.
The one. Number
first
one.
Time.
Yes. So, but either way, I like the image. It's subtle. It has boobs, yes, but I don't think they're like boobs.
You let your young child look at that?
Yeah, but that wasn't. Who cares?
Well, if they want to be all family friendly and all that, Jenks.
Well, I'll put the little stars like in the Vegas.
Yeah.
Strip
I think you should seriously just do that, and then it just straight up makes me think of porn once you start doing that.
Instead of
like a nice romantic image of boobies.
What if I just delete the boobs altogether?
I was talking about photoshopping out the whole nipple.
Yeah, just photoshop the whole nipple out. There you go.
I wonder if that would be okay with them. Because I've seen images like that. It looks weird. Don't you think that looks weird with a girl with her whole nipple?
Because they did that with the WrestleMania. Remember when they were in Florida and they had like the pictures up of all the wrestlers up on like a big billboard? And they like photoshopped all the nipples of the wrestlers out?
And they were men. Like the Big Show had like
I think
his nipple was taken out.
What they're saying is that these guys have breasts. And then they're censoring.
It's so horrible.
They're censoring the breasts of
like,
the professional wrestlers.
But the thing
wrestlers.
Is like even a 6-year-old has a nipple. Like a young boy. It's like he's gonna look up at that banner and be like, "Where's the Big Show's
I'm
nipple?"
I'm not allowed to take off my shirt, Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd. It makes you think about it more, though. You know, if they just had the regular nipple up, I wouldn't think about it. But then with the nipple being gone, then I start to think about it. I'm like, where's the nipple? And then I start to think all sexual.
Not to toot my own horn or anything like I usually do, but like even Brian Sarvis, you know, he's not really as involved with my photo work creatively wise, but he said like even if I didn't know that you did that image, I would have voted for you. But he liked also that there was a backstory to it that like, yeah, like a girl would chill out naked by her home. You know, that's part of the story. I feel that is majority part of the story, is that this girl is comfortable, and then that's when she hears the sirens outside. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. Well, like, see, I feel like that image, there's like...
But she like he
there's
likes
a story behind it. It's not just like gratuitous breasts.
He likes the atmosphere too, that it's a world, you know? It's not just stuck in a studio, and that's...
I don't know. I think that whoever's, like, running the studio is just getting shaky in their boots, and they're, like... They don't want to, like, have it up on the wall and, like, say, like, a student group or something comes to the studio and they see that. You know? Like, I don't know what his plans are.
Well, there's already stuff up there like that.
Hey, you know, I don't disagree with you, but I'm just basically saying he wants to protect himself.
Well, what I'm really saying
is
that...
You're too dangerous.
I think that's fine. I would rather be known as a loose cannon. You know, and I'll push for that new gimmick to come out. I'm the loose cannon photographer. I'm reckless. I pretty much am reckless with my photography, which is actually pretty scary when I do paid work. Is that I'm afraid that some people will be like, oh my god, he's sort of reckless. He does anything to get that image. You know what I mean? I crawled into walls. I stand, you know what I mean? I do crazy stuff, and that's just who I am. I take that same, you know what that is? That's devotion to the craft.
Joe the photographer.
Don't put that in.
Don't put that in?
Don't put the Joe the anything. I don't like that. Remember how like people were all like, Joe the plumber, Joe six pack.
See, I think you didn't like that with Joe the plumber.
I didn't like any of that. Joe the this, Joe the that. Because then people just put, though, Joe, no, Joe, the this. Or, like, the, hey, Joe, where are you going? None of that stuff. All that stuff is gay.
Like, any rip off the Joe.
Any like, non-creative use
of
that.
Cup of Joe.
Yeah, and any of that. Well, that's fine, because Joe Quesada is awesome. But any of that stuff, guys, if you do that and you're listening to this show, and you'll probably annoy me if you use it, and you're probably going to do it in spite of me doing that anyway, because people like to just piss me off in that name section, but I will not answer to it. Even the mispronouncing of my last name, Joe Cabrera or Joe Casablanca, I would just not answer to that.
I like Joe Casablanca.
But it's not my name.
No,
that's not my name. That's not my name. That's for you. That's for you.
That's what you're going to tell all those people. So
what was I talking about?
Let's talk more about our tour. Or do you want to talk about the music we're listening to? We can talk about a whole bunch of stuff.
What do you want to talk about? The people at home are just going to think we're fighting again. They're going to be like, oh, Carolyn and Joe are fighting again. I think there's something going on. There's some drama. And they're going to fall for it.
Johnny
drama. Because they're suckers.
Suckers like the lollipop.
Yes.
Well, we can talk
Are we fighting again?
No.
We never fight. It's all an act. This is all fake. This is all pretend, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I guess so last Tuesday, Good Charlotte had their album come out called Cardiology, which is what we're listening to.
A week ago, right?
Yeah, like last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we did pick that up. We got a support.
Wait.
Or I picked that up.
Yeah.
Why? You don't want to claim that you bought a Good Charlotte album?
But I didn't buy. I bought the other ones, but I didn't buy it. I didn't buy this one. You bought it.
Okay.
Maybe because the main thing is because I could barely see it when it was in Target. You're looking around for like the new Good Charlotte album. I'm like, I want to support this band. No, I hate that term of like, oh, let's support them. Like they need our charity or something like that. I think the best way to do it is just like, you know, you buy the music because you like it, not because you're trying to support them. Don't you think?
Well,
supporting is like...
I buy the music because I like it, but I do want to also say that, hey, I wanted to, you know, I did want to support buying their album.
Yeah, but see, for me, it's like, just buy it. But like, it's not a support thing. I don't think it's, yeah, let's support them. We'll give them some bankroll. You know what I mean? But like, in all honesty, you like it. You don't want to buy it and then not listen to it.
Well, everything that I buy, I like.
That's the key. Like, I don't really want to buy something.
But I still will say like, oh, hey, I'll buy this. Because if, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you like, but you might pass it up. So you're like, you know, I can hold off on that.
But like,
whereas this, it's like, you actually want to support that. You want to buy that and you want to listen to music.
But like, to me, I don't want to... I'm not really a supporter type person. I'm very bold about it. I'm like, all right, I don't like it. But I don't want to be like, all right, I guess I'll buy it because I'm supporting you. You know what I mean? I don't want to be
I didn't mean it like that. But I just bought this music because I like Good Charlotte.
But that's what I'm saying is that like, there's a difference between like, oh, I'm supporting this band. Well, at least in my head, I feel like there's a difference between, oh, yeah, I'm going to get it because I'm supporting them, but like, I'm not going to listen to the album.
So last week, I bought this Good Charlotte Cardiology, which it wasn't even like on like the main area. We were in Target. It wasn't even in like the main area of like the new releases. So it was kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
Then I found it. So I was like, yeah.
It wasn't very hard, but I found it. Tell us the story of you finding.
Like,
This is how I remember finding the album. All right, we walk in there. You know, as a group, like we do, like a gang, like we walk into any other place, in the Target because we don't really buy stuff. New music at Walmart.
Walking in like the Killjoys.
Yeah, walking like the Killjoys. Danger Days coming out November 22nd. but we walked in there, you know, and they have the front row of all the artists basically that Target is supporting,
which is all like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, you know, you get all like Mike Bublé was the front there.
Michael Bublé.
You know, like Lil Wayne and his new stuff. We're like, why is there Carolyn, you're like, why? There's no good Charlotte there. Then we walked through and looking through the aisles and stuff like that. And, you know, and we looked at the aisles, right? And what was the first thing that we saw? The first thing that I saw when I was there, I saw Hurley's face. That was the first thing out of the whole entire aisle of new music. I saw Hurley's face. And I remember Carolyn goes like, is that the fat guy from Lost?
That's his name.
It is. It's Hurley. Hurley's the, I think Weezer, the new Weezer album.
Weezer should have titled their album, instead of calling it Hurley, it should just be called The Fat Guy from Lost.
Oh, no.
Because that's what people call him. I mean, that's what he is. He's the fat guy from Lost.
I don't know if they really call him that, but that would be funny.
I mean, I would never call him that to his face, but like, if you were to describe who that is, if somebody's like, hey, who's that guy? I'll be like, yeah, that's the fat guy from Lost. But I mean, like, that's pretty much the easiest way to describe who he is.
So, yeah, so we're looking at all the CDs there. All the CDs. You know, you guys remember CDs, right? You know, the first things that popped in my mind, I saw the new the mono recordings from Bob Dylan, because that's blue. You look and see Hurley's face over there. Maybe I saw, I don't know, 7 Finger 11 or something like that. And I could not see the new Good Charlotte album. We looked around and we're like, where is it, right? Why couldn't we see it?
Because it was in the corner.
But why else?
There's no signage.
Exactly. It didn't seem like a big explosion promotion. But and also I feel like maybe the cover, I don't even know what the cover was. It's a
cover,
heart.
Cover's
it's a heart,
like
right?
A heart with a tree.
And who else did a heart?
Who did a heart?
Who else did a heart on their cover?
I don't know, Hilary Duff?
No, didn't My Chemical Romance have a heart on their cover?
I don't think so.
I swear there was something like that.
I don't think.
What is Three Cheers? What's the cover of Three Cheers? That's
like
guy
two people kissing or almost about to kiss.
Oh well, but basically, yeah. It just didn't stick out as much. Maybe it wasn't pushed. Maybe it wasn't sticked out. But it was there. That's the end of my story.
We found it. We bought it. And so what do you think of the music? You've had an opportunity to listen to it, right?
I mean, I think it's definitely you know, it's good tunes in there. It's definitely not something. Even though this is probably the second time I've listened to the whole album.
The old album?
No, this new album.
Oh, yeah? Second time?
This is the second time I listened to this album.
Cardiology?
Yeah, Cardiology. It came out November 2nd. I mean, I don't have any problem with it. There's a lot of good stuff.
So you listened to it when you drove down to Richmond, right?
No, I couldn't because I wasn't able to burn those tracks. I still had to convert them.
Oh.
So I was already in a rush, so I couldn't do that.
So when did you listen to it the first time?
I was working yesterday, and I listened to it then. But I feel there's a lot more synthesizer stuff into it now. I mean, there's some good stuff in there. I think they don't have songs like "Look at My Life All Black." They don't have stuff like that.
So better album than Good Morning Revival.
I think there's probably a better overall album than Good Morning Revival. So
that's an upgrade.
It is an upgrade. Yes, it's very much an upgrade. What were your impressions going into it? And also, you just watched that. You watched the thing on Fuse.
Yes.
And that was like
Spark on Fuse.
Yeah, and I've never even heard of Spark, but apparently they had a good show on Spark.
Yeah,
like they're a good show.
There's a show called The Spark. I've only seen it one time, and they focused on Good Charlotte, and it was all about how they write songs and, you know, the path of the band. I like that show.
What do you think of Benji and Joel as human beings?
I think they're good people, but I think they have like some type of reputation. Like all people think
like we have a reputation.
Yeah,
people
like,
think we always just fight on the radio.
I guess. Sex on the radio.
Yes, we have sex on the radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Good Charlotte has a song called "Sex on the Radio."
Yeah.
Is that what we open the show with?
Yeah, we open the show with that.
So basically, you know, I don't know what other people think of Benji and Joel, but
it doesn't matter. What do you think of Benji?
What do
and Joel?
I think of them?
Because you at this very you have this moment right now to change everyone's impression. Everyone who's listening to you right now,
when I saw
they're
the going
to listen to you and they're going to listen to your impression of they're going to listen to your impression of Benji and Joel and Good Charlotte, and that you can change people's
I can
minds
change
here,
the
man.
World.
You can change minds at this very moment.
Well, you know, I met Joel once, like for 30 seconds, and we took a picture together. But I have never met Benji. And I always liked Benji from the start because he had a pink spot in his hair, like a dyed pink spot early on. So, you know, for a while I was liking Benji. But now I think Joel, like, has, I follow Joel on Twitter, and he has some really good tweets, and they both have this thing called Positweets.
Yeah.
And so they're, to me, like, Good Charlotte is the most positive band out there right now. Like, I mean, maybe My Chemical Romance might be up there too, but right now, like, for me, Good Charlotte just equals positivity.
That's good.
And even like, when I saw the Fuse show, basically they went through their whole path and where they came from, and they were, like, starting out, like, younger than 20, and they made their whole career based on, like, you know, their music, and they were like, we want this when we get signed, we want to have this, and, like, and to me, that was, like, very smart, and they had, like, these rules.
Very few people have that passion to, like, keep going. You know, that we always run into a lot of people that are like, I want to make music, I want to make comics and movies too, and then they set their foot into, like, the room of the work that goes in, that gets involved with producing your own stuff, and then they you know, they step back and like, ah, then they just go back to bed.
Yeah, I feel like I really enjoyed that show and, like, seeing how their songwriting process and how they work together. And also, if you don't know, Benji and Joel Madden are twins. So they have, like, this whole level of thinking where they can think together. It's pretty interesting, them together, you know, and they fight and they love and they do a whole bunch of, like, great things, like, emotionally with each other, you know? They have a lot of connection going on. And based on, like, their family life, from what I heard, it wasn't so good growing up in high school. Like, their dad left them on Christmas Day and stuff, you know, and they've had to provide for their family early on. So back then, when they were, like, whatever, 19, before, like, a record deal, it's like all they had to, like, go on was, like, their music, and they just, like, went for it.
Yeah.
Like, full on. And I really think that that's awesome, because a lot of people don't do that, you know. They don't have anything to live for. At that time, Good Charlotte had so much to live for, and they were so energetic, and they just went out there and did their thing. And, like, you know, and I know a lot of people, like, talk shit about Good Charlotte. I don't know why they do, because it's like, you know, sorry if you're jealous that you didn't make it, you know. I've heard of people like,
or that you quit,
or that you quit, you know. It's like, dude, Good Charlotte, don't, like, get down on them for being successful. You know, they had nothing. They had, like, pretty much nothing. They went from nothing to, like, you know, huge tours and, like, going to Japan and going to Europe and, you know, playing for, like, tons of people in the audience, you know, and they make so many people happy. So I think it's awesome, you know. Like, I'm still gonna, like, always support Good Charlotte, and also whenever I listen to their music, it makes me feel like flying, or it makes me feel like, you know, back in the day when I first started listening to them when I was in high school, you know.
Like, I feel like it motivates you, as opposed to just puts you in like oh, I just want to, you know, there's more feeling that you feel towards this music. I guess that makes any sense.
Yeah, and also Good Charlotte does have, like, fun songs, you know? Like, it's not all, like, you know, super, like posy tweet or something, but it's, like, they have so many, like, songs that are also just fun, and they are, like, jumpy, you know?
Because, so, like, I feel there's a lot of people who listen to music these days are always trying to be hardcore. They're like, no, this song is more darker. Oh, this has more vulgarity to it. Oh, look, they're talking about throwing money up in the air, like, stuff
making
like
it
that
rain.
Yeah, they're, people are listening to music a lot of people are listening to it for the wrong reason, you know what I mean? And they're not, I don't think they're getting the right, you know, maybe message out of it, or they're not getting the right, you know, they're just not getting the right energy when,
yeah,
they listen,
like,
to it,
some of my favorite,
as opposed to just taking off their shirt and dancing with their titties hanging out.
Like, Good Charlotte and My Chemical Romance are, like, my favorite, like, rock punk bands, whatever you want to call them. You know, they're, like, my favorite bands right now. And to me, like, My Chemical Romance, when I listen to them, it basically just makes me want to take over the world. You know? It's like, oh, I'm going to take over the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's an empowerment.
I mean, that's the same thing with me, like, with Rage Against the Machine, too. And I think it's really important to have something like that that motivates you, that,
yeah,
inspires you, really.
But for me, Good Charlotte's more, like, the positive.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying, like, My Chemical Romance isn't positive, because that's still a positive thing to, like, take over the world. But it's more like this, like, grabbing and, like, being like, yeah, let's go take them on, you know? Like, that type of, like, us against the world type attitude. Whereas, like, Good Charlotte's more just, like, positive, believe in yourself, you know? So it's like, okay, so on MCR hand, you get, like, you know, it's us against the world, let's go. And then on My Chemical Romance, I'm getting confused. Okay, on My Chemical Romance, it's like, let's go, let's take over the world. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, let's go do our thing and, like, take over the world.
Because, you know, they have songs like Thank You for the Venom. They're like, I'll take your bullets. You know, this stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, you're going to lead. You know, it's more like a call to arms.
Yeah, it's like, let's go take over the world. And then, like, Good Charlotte is like, believe in yourself. You can do it. Anyone can do it if you put your mind to it. You know?
It's like, if we did it, you can too.
Yeah. So they have a good message, you know? I feel like they still have that. You know, and it was like, for their last record, the Good Morning Revival, they did a MySpace secret show. And this was like at the point of like when MySpace started to like already go disintegrate. Like now I basically never log into MySpace, hardly ever. I probably log in like 4 times a year to MySpace for like briefly just update a couple things and then I get the hell out of there.
Yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah, and you deleted your MySpace. But basically what happened was back when MySpace first started to disintegrate when Facebook was taking over, you know, that was right when Good Morning Revival was coming out for me. And I like, you know, I did one of those random things where I was like, oh, I guess I'll log into MySpace. Because I was actually had to reply to somebody. They're like, you got a message from somebody. So I was like, oh, reply. And thank God. It was from Carolyn Coke. So I was like, thank God she, like, messaged me,
still,
you know?
Thank God she still uses that.
Well, no, that was, like, back when Good Morning Revival.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, like, if it wasn't for her, like, basically I found out that there was going to be a a Good Charlotte free show at Black Hat, like, the next day.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for her, like, messaging me, I would have never seen that other announcement, which was awesome. So, anyway, it was all secret. It was all, like, you have to be, like, at this thing and, like, you know, go to Black Hat at this time or, like, you know, no one really knew about it.
Yeah.
But it was awesome because, like, we got into the show and stuff. And we were, like, right in the front. And basically Joe was, like, kind of, like, freaked out because Joel was, like, singing right to his face.
Yeah, that's a little bit off-putting.
Like, it was, like 5 inches from your face or something?
I feel that's happening to me recently, is that, like, even with Allison Mozart was, like, 3 inches away from my face the first time I saw the Dead Weather, and then Charlotte's, like, Joel's, like, right in my face. I'm like, what are you? I was singing.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, but it freked me out, man. I don't really like people when, that close to my when, face unless, like, you're my girlfriend or something.
What about, what about, Rooney?
Yeah, Rooney was awfully...
Robert Schwartzman
awfully,
in your face?
He was awfully close to me, too.
Was he like, hey, Joe?
I don't understand. We all belong on stage, that's why. We all belong to rock the mic on stage.
But basically, you know, so we were in line for Good Charlotte for that secret show. And we're in D.C. We're like at their hometown, you know?
Yeah, the town that's seen it all.
And basically, they were like... Hey, anyone want to, you know, go get free tickets? And they were, like, putting people on the street, like, just passerbys. And people were like, no, I don't want to see them. And in my head, I was like, I mean, you know, granted, they might be going somewhere else. They might already have something going on in their life, you know? But in my head, I was like, man, what are you doing? You're just walking away from this free show?
Free show, man.
Do you remember that, though?
Yeah.
Like, I was like...
For one thing, pass up a free music show.
Yeah, but you never know where they're going. You know, they could have been out to meet friends or something.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know what those people were doing.
But if you're free, don't pass up a free music show.
A couple people did join the line.
There's a bunch of, like, guys that are like, oh, we're just here.
Like, just behind us. So yeah. I was like, who are these random guys? It was, like, this group of, like, 8 random dudes,
like,
all together.
Middle-aged guys and shit.
Like, they're all, like, different ages, too. Some of them were young and then, like, older, black, white, Asian. Like, this, like, hybrid of all different types of people.
The UN correlation.
I was like, all right, that's cool. They're all going to go see Good Charlotte. But, yeah, that was, like, awesome. And then they had posters afterwards that they gave out for free that were, like, silkscreen event posters.
Yeah.
It was cool. I mean, like, I don't know. I enjoyed that show because we've seen Good Charlotte so many times. Like, I saw them, the first time I saw them was, like, before they even got signed to a record deal and they were opening for Lit.
Don't you feel that everyone that we run into from this area has, like, a Good Charlotte story? Like, yeah, I used to hang out with them, or I knew someone hung out with them in
but
a bar.
Usually
and
it's
like treat them like assholes or something.
Or it's
like that.
Usually like, oh, my band, like, opened for them, you know, or, like, you know, stuff like that, but then,
or
like...
they used to open for us.
Or they used to open for us, but then they're like, oh, they're...
But they usually say, that, when people say that, like, oh, yeah, Good Charlotte used to open for us, they say that, like, oh, yeah, they should still open for us now. It's sort of like, well, where's your band, dude? Oh,
yeah,
we're broken up.
But then they, like, sound...
I work at Target.
I mean, like, honestly, they sound, like, bitter about it, too. You know? They're just like, yeah...
It's hard to do. It's hard to produce new work that means something, really. At the end of the day, it's really difficult to keep that energy alive. You know, you got to balance that. All right, this is work, but this is also my passion thing. And a lot of people miss that. You know, a lot of people just drop it, or they get they get taken by a hurricane storm of the real life. And, you know, it's the sacrifice and there's hard work that always goes into there. But
the good thing to know about them is that they're still
gotta
making,
be stubborn.
They're
know?
Still making work, you know?
Yeah.
They're still out there. They just had a new album come out. So, you know.
We did see DCMA when we were over in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, but they were closed.
On Melrose. We hung out on Melrose. That's where we went to Pinkberry's on Melrose.
Pinkberry, yes. And now they have a Pinkberry in our area now.
Yes.
Yes.
Pinkberry.
Pinkberry is good.
Pinkberry is good. Pinkberry tastes so good.
So what are your favorite toppings on Pinkberry? For those of you that don't know, it's frozen yogurt. It's so good.
My favorite topping. Well, they don't have the mushy, do they?
Why are you talking all silent? Is it a secret?
It's a secret.
Mushy?
Secrets.
What else do you like besides the mushy?
I like the fruit bears.
They always the gummy bears?
They call it the fruit bears, though, or fruity bears.
But they're basically like gummy bears. But the sugar on that is like hardcore, like chunky sugar.
Now, you've been to three separate places like in our area, supposedly in our area that has that sort of like, you know, whatever
Pinkberry ripoffs?
Yeah. So
what are the names of the other ones?
I don't know. I forget. But you've been to them. Is there a specific difference that you've tasted with Pinkberry as we close our show?
I think Pinkberry gives you a little bit more.
They just give you a little bit more?
That one in Springfield was good, but I feel like they didn't give us a lot. Is that just me or?
None of them really give you a lot if you think about it.
No, Pinkberry gives you a lot. If you get the big size and split it, don't you think that was a lot?
I don't know. Because that was like our
like
first
the
time,
large, but we had a lot, and there was like a zillion toppings.
I want to have Pinkberry right now.
Joe, let's go to Pinkberry.
I'd like to have Pinkberry in my tummy this very moment.
I don't know if it's still open at this time.
Oh, man.
They should have a 24/7 Pinkberry.
24/7 Pinkberry, and they have to greet you as nice. Hi, welcome to Pinkberry. What would you like?
Hello, welcome to Pinkberry.
Welcome to Pinkberry, motherfucker. Oh, well. Thank you for tuning in for the show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Check out curls-studio.com and astraightproductionsstudio.com. Astraightproductions.com. Stand up for the Carolyn and Joe show.
Pause a tweet.
That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
See you later, Carolyn.
See ya.
Have a good night.